That first song we sang, "Come Set Your Church on Fire," that is my prayer for Hillcrest. That's my prayer for the church in America, and that's my prayer for the church global. Because I think that there's some things that are missing, some ingredients maybe in the mix where the church is getting off track from what Jesus originally intended the church to be, what he intended it to look like, and certainly what he intended that it was going to do in the world. I'm going to just give you a disclaimer, I guess, this morning. I have practiced this message I don't even know how many times this week. I've rewritten it 3 times, and I hate what I have. And every time I practice it, something different comes out. So I don't know if first service will be different from second service, but just fasten your seatbelts, ride along with me, because there's some things in me that are just burning and passionate to get out that I have to today as we talk about this issue of the state of the church, specifically here at Hillcrest. How is Hillcrest doing as a church? Are we healthy? Are we normal? Are we average? Are we above average? Are we below average? Why do people come to Hillcrest? Why do they stay? And more importantly, why do they leave? Are we growing? Are we plateauing? Are we shrinking? Are we in tune with the culture? Or are we too in tune to the culture that we become too much like the culture? All good questions to ask. Is what's happening here what Jesus had in mind when he instituted the church? And if he saw, if he was here, if he was speaking to us today, would he be pleased in what he sees? It is time to ask some tough questions and to listen to some tough answers and to struggle with some areas where we may not know the answer, but realize that we need to come to an understanding or an agreement, or at least realize that this is an area that we need to work on because we don't know. How are we doing? Now, I'm going to probably agree right off the bat that some of you are going to love this series, and there are others of you that are going to despise it. There are some of you that after this first one, you're going to say, man, let's go do something else these next 3 weeks until Pastor Doug gets his head on straight and comes back to whatever our next series is, which you'll notice by the board out there is blank. We're just a little behind in our artwork, but I have a feeling that maybe we'll just continue this on for a while, depending on how we go. There's really some things that we need to talk about. And a family needs to be able to sit together and have a family meeting and discuss how we're doing and things that are working well and maybe some things that aren't working so well. Let me start off with a few statistics here, because Barna shows that church attendance in America has dropped over the last 10 years from 43% of Americans going to church to today, 10 years later, 35% going to church of all Americans. Now, I get it. You live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Here in the Midwest, in the Bible Belt, that number is inflatedly higher. But realize that there are other parts in the country where that number is significantly less. People generally, including in Sioux Falls, including in the Bible Belt, are also not going to church at the same percentage rate as other places. So though your percentage may be higher, your friends, your neighbors, most of them maybe still are going to church. There are less of them that are now than were 10 years ago. And that's something we need to pay attention to. When we talk to the people, not just that aren't going to church, but specifically the group that stopped going to church, the 8% of people in the last 10 years that stopped going to church, the question was asked to them, why have you stopped? What is it? And there were a few reasons they said. The first one and number one reason is they said it's irrelevant. Church is no longer relevant to me. And my goodness, we can do a whole series on that alone, I think. You might dream up what all those reasons are, why it is no longer relevant when I in my life say, oh my goodness, there's nothing more relevant than my faith in Christ and gathering together as believers. But for a huge generation, and it's all the younger generation, which are going to have children, which will also not care about going to church. It will be irrelevant for an entire generation. That video that we showed, things are radically going to change in the American church over these next one and especially 2 generations. Second reason, hypocrisy. You preach it, and you don't live it. You say it, you don't do it. Hypocrisy. Third one is the moral failings of its leaders. This is a bit of an unfair critique. Because if you look at the tens of thousands of pastors, a very tiny percentage have moral failings. But those make the headlines because that's big news. Everybody loves that kind of news. They devour it up. So culturally, we hear about it and we think this is a big issue in the church, and it is not. Now, I'm not talking about some of the sexual abuse that's happening in the Catholic Church, things that need to be taken care of that have not been taken care of for decades. When you talk about pastors overall just having a moral failure of some sort that is sensationalized by the media, that is not as big of an issue as the media would like to make it to be. But it's still there because pastors are human. And I try to remind you that I am human. I am just a regular guy, and I am just as easy to succumb to temptations and trials and sin in my life as you are. But that was one of the reasons they listed. This one just floors me. God is missing in church. What? How do you come to church and God is missing in church? Obviously, I haven't been to all the churches, or certainly many of the churches that these people are talking about, but for them to assess that God is not there. And the last thing listed, which I think might be even more significant than its position on the list, is that they're not allowed to ask legitimate doubt questions. Doubting is prohibited in church. I grew up in a church like this. Almost all faith organizations that I have been a part of, even parachurch organizations, doubt is frowned upon. There's a culture of do not doubt, do not question. And I hope, if anything, here at Hillcrest, we have opened the door to questions and doubt and saying, you know, no matter where you are at on the journey, it's okay to ask questions. But this is a big one. People want, they want relevancy, and some of that comes through the questions that they have and getting those questions answered, or at least having a church with enough integrity to say, I don't know. Then they took the people that are coming to church. And they said, why are you coming to church? I don't have a slide for these, but there were two reasons that they said. One is that they said they wanted to be closer to God. Does that fit you? Fits me. I come to church because I want to be closer to God. Seems like a normal reason to come to church, and it's a good reason to come to church. But when they did a poll of people that are going to church and asked the question, when you go to church, do you feel closer to God? 4 out of 5 people said, I do not feel closer to God after going to church. 4 out of 5 current church attenders, the 35% that are going to church, 4 out of 5 of them said, I do not feel closer to God after going to church. But they're going for that reason, but they're not experiencing it. Second reason why people are going to church is to learn about God, which is different than feeling closer to God. They want to learn about God. And this statistic just blows me out of the water. When they look at people that are going to church and asking the question, did you learn about God today? 1 out of 10 said they learned about God in church. 9 out of 10 say, I learned nothing about God when I went to church, which might be why the first issue of them feeling closer to God didn't happen either. What are churches doing? What are they doing that people can come to church and say, I don't feel closer to God after leaving, and I learned nothing about God in the process? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the message, and I connected with God through those worship songs. I learn something as I listen to those words and as I engage my heart into worship. But I don't know. Right or wrong, this is what people are saying that are currently going to church. And perception is what? Is reality. That's right. Someone's perception is their reality. No question about that. And this is a rather dismal and depressing trend, and one that every single church in America had better listen to and better pay attention to. And every church in America better start assessing and evaluating and reflecting on what it is that they're doing and how they're achieving the mission and the purpose of the church. What is the mission and purpose of the church? In this series, I'm not going to go into that. You say, well, my goodness, Pastor Doug, how are we going to know what we're doing if you're not even going to tell us what the mission and purpose of the church is? Because you already know. I mean, I have done countless series on this. What's the mission and purpose of the church? To love and to... I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars, you can have board meetings, you can have specialists and consultants come in and break down all the fancy words you want to do, but you're going to come down to saying that. The reason of the church is to love God and love others. So that's our purpose. And the church needs to embrace this and understand this and realize this and step away from some of the things that they have been using as their purpose. First John, chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "In this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And understand, one another means those of you sitting here in the room today. First John is not talking about our neighbors, though we are to love our neighbors. But this message is specific to the church, that we are to love one another. How are we doing? This series, we're looking at different aspects of how we're doing. Today, we're looking internally. Next week, we're going to look at the Sioux Falls and the community, how we're doing in the community. The third week, we're going to be looking globally. How is Hillcrest doing, specifically Hillcrest, in global impact in the world? How are we doing? And the fourth week is going to kind of be a culmination of the three, and we are going to celebrate some things, and we are going to challenge ourselves in some things, too. We are going to set some goals, and we are going to go for those goals as best we possibly can. And this is an important part of what the church needs to do. It's an important part of what we need to do here at Hillcrest. Because if you don't assess, if you don't reflect, if you don't look back on what you've done and look forward to where you're going and make some changes or adjustments, you're just going to continue the same thing over and over again. And I think that the church, being the hope of the world, deserves a little more focus and energy from us than just happenstance. Let's just see what happens every single Sunday as we come here. So this series is our integrity check. We will assess, we will evaluate, we will reflect on how we're doing. So let's dive in here this morning. If you're taking notes, page 6 in your program that you got is a place where you can fill in. In fact, let's just start right off with this. This isn't in my notes. I'm just doing this now. This is a program. It's also a devotional. If you don't know it's a devotional, people at Hillcrest write a devotional every single week for every single day connected to the message that we're teaching on today. And then each day you can sit down and connect with God all by yourself by doing this devotional. Maybe you have another devotional. That's great. If you don't have another devotional, you should be doing this one. And if you don't like this one, then you get a different one. But if you're doing no devotional, that's lame. That's not in my notes. You have to. So here, people write it for you. They're not paid. Volunteers here at Hillcrest praying over it, praying over the scriptures, and they write it. Different person each and every week. And on page 6, there's a place for you to take notes. And we've kind of learned when you're learning that if you make your learning active, and sometimes just filling in a blank helps you connect with it. So get out your pen, open up to page 6, and take some notes. I'm here all month. First fill in, the church is not a building. Did you know this? The church is people. Which people? Who's us? Define the us that are the church. Followers of Christ. People that have committed their lives to Jesus, when they get together, it's called the church. And it's not a building. It's not an address. You can't say, that's my church. That's ridiculous. That is not your church. I'm your church. You're our church. We are the church. Wherever we gather. If we go out in a cornfield, church, Hillcrest just showed up. If we're not in this building, are we the church here? Nope. Because that would make it a building. That'd make it an address. We do not need a government to be a church. We don't need a tax exempt status. We don't need bylaws. You know, we don't need any of that stuff. We don't need to be recognized by any group. When followers come together, when two or more are gathered, who's with them? Jesus. That is the church. So we need to first realize that the church isn't a building. I don't like what my church does. You may not like what you do. What church do you go to? The church is one church. Now, we have a local gathering here at Hillcrest, and I identify with you through membership. I say, this is the place where I'm gonna link arms with you, and we're going to do ministry together, and we're going to serve together, and I'm going to give here my time, my money, my talents, whatever I have comes to this place, and together, as we all do that together, we make an impact in our community and in our world. And I commit to loving you. Now, I commit to loving other people and other churches and Christians around the world, but that love is uniquely different here. Because when you call me on the phone, I'm going to do everything I can to meet your need and to care for you. If that started happening all around Sioux Falls, I would have to somehow shut that off. But for this group, I give you special access to me. My time, my energy, my focus here locally at Hillcrest. But it's not a building. A person that loves Jesus, a person that has decided to follow Jesus, is a Christian. And when two or more are gathered, there is Christ and there is the church. And when we look back at the church early on, again, it wasn't in a dress. And when Jesus came and he commissioned the church and then he ascended into heaven, we get this little glimpse in the book of Acts as to what the church looked like. Like, what were they doing? Well, what did it look like? Did it look like this? Or did it look like something different? Acts 2:42 is really the kingpin kind of verse for this. And it says this. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, I could do an entire series on this verse alone, breaking out each one of those points and talking about what they are. I've actually done that in the past, but on week 4 of this series, we're going to come back to this verse, and we're going to kind of evaluate ourselves against this verse here. But notice that they did life together. The church does life together. They not only went to church, but they shared what they had with one another. They spent time together. They prayed for one another. They were family. They loved each other. This is the focus. This is what you need to grab from Acts 2:42. And we are to be a people who love each other, to be there for each other. Now, I'm going to challenge our cultural pressures that we have on us as individuals and as families, but church should not be an add-on to our lives like Boy Scouts. Church shouldn't be an add-on to our life like your gym membership. It's not just a place you show up once a week and do your Christian duty for an hour and a half or whatever it might be. This is an identity of who we are, not just an add-on to our existence. No matter where we are located, we are the church, and it doesn't matter what the building is. And that's why it's so strange to me when someone says something like, oh, I don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. Catch that phrase with what I just said? I don't need to go to, what are they really saying? They're really saying 4301 East 26th Street. I don't need to go to that building to be a Christian, really. But what they're also saying is that they don't need the church to be a Christian or to be close to God. Honestly, that's the same thing as saying, I don't need to be human to be a person. It's identical. I don't need to be human to be a person. Yeah, you kind of do. It's kind of one of the definitions. In order for the church to be a church, it requires the people who are followers of Christ. And if they're not there, it's not a church. You cannot do that alone. There's nowhere in Scripture it says, just go do it by yourself. Go do it alone. You don't need anybody else along in the journey. Church is not a place. It is an identity. If you look up in Webster's dictionary, church is a noun. That is wrong. Because the church in the Bible is what kind of word? Oh, I heard it. Verb. Thank you. It's a verb. The biblical church is a verb. It's not a noun. I mean, I guess if we're all together somewhere, you could say that is the church and that you'd be identifying us. But within me, the church is a verb. It's action. It's not just a place that we go to. So how are we doing? Last month, we sent out a survey to all of you again and again and again and many times, handed out here in service, and we begged you and we pleaded and we cried and we gave some people $1,000 if they would do the survey. Any of you get, some of you might have got that. I'm so thankful for the 63 people that responded, and I'm disappointed in those of you that did not. Because you should have done it. We needed as much information as we could. We got a small cross-section. And honestly, the small cross-section that we got were people that were already pretty much committed. That's why they filled out the survey. We've got to do better at these kinds of things. When we need information, when we're trying to do something together, you can't say other people will do it for me. Enough other people will do the survey. You have to think that you're the only person being asked to do the survey. This also, I'm sorry, this is not in my notes. We got to do better at some things. We're rocking it in many areas, but we got to do better in some areas. But the 63 people that responded, they did give us some information. And we discovered that of that group, 3% come once a month, 2% of them come twice a month, and 95% come 3 or 4 times a month to church. That's just church attendance. That's amazing. Hillcrest is doing really good in this area because people are coming to church. But as I said, that is a smaller cross-section of Hillcrest because those that come less than that 3 or 4 times a month was less likely to get the survey. In fact, we did this survey for an entire month, and some of you may be sitting here today saying, I never saw that survey. That is flat out because you didn't come to church. That's why you don't know about the survey. It also went out in every single email that we sent out to you, which means you don't read the emails. I mean, we did everything we could to get the information out there. I don't want Hillcrest to be a church of sideline viewers. Well, you come here to hear me because you say, oh, I really like Pastor Doug's messages. They're just really powerful. I'm sure you're not feeling that way today. Other times you say, you know, it's the worship, you know. I read a note that someone gave Jacob today that said that he has the best voice ever. Maybe you come to hear Jacob. I do. Maybe you just like that Hillcrest does stuff in the community. So you come, you want to be a part of a church that does stuff in the community. But if you just come and go, you're missing out on one of the most significant parts of being a Christian and part of the family of God and part of a church. There are some of you that will today, because you do it every week, that when those doors open after I say dismiss, you go out and right out that door. You don't spend time talking to anybody. You're not known by anybody. You just come and go. And you could be here for months, and all of a sudden your name comes up, and people say, who's that? And we try to describe you, or we try to talk, or we tell where they sit. Oh, yeah, I don't really know. And some people can be here for 6 months or a year, and nobody knows who they are. That's not good. And that's because Hillcrest has become a place, but not your identity. And when you act that way, you are not a part of this family, and we want you to be part of this family. And I want you to know you are truly missing one of the greater parts of being a Christian, and that is church. To know others and to be known by other people. This is the key. To be loved and to love. When you need help, when you need support, when you need prayer, when you need encouragement, you have somewhere to go. You have a family that knows you, that cares about you, that will support you, that will be there for you, and has the ability to give of themselves to you, and you have the ability to give of yourself for them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Have you ever examined if you are a more infrequent Hillcrester, which I would say is at least in the 2 or less a month category, have you ever wondered why you're so infrequent at attending church? Or why you're not a part of the ministries here at Hillcrest? I doubt it's because you think you're too good for us. I don't think that's the issue. I bet it's because you're either not fully committed in your relationship with Jesus, or maybe because you don't know how to connect or if you'll be accepted if you try. If you stay here long enough, the first excuse is bupkis. You have all the evidence you need to know that God loves you and that what we're doing here and what we're a part here is something that you can join and be a part of. It's why you keep coming. It's why you keep listening. But it's time to stop sitting in the sidelines and get into the game. to come up and say, "Coach, I'm ready to play." It's time to just move away from just continuing to just sit and listen and act like you're part of Hillcrest and actually become part of Hillcrest and help Hillcrest do the amazing things that God has put in front of us to be able to do. Make church a regular part of your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it for silly, frivolous things. All of us miss church. I miss church at times. Not often, but sometimes. I get it. Life has its things that happen, and you can't always be here. But don't miss it for frivolous things. If you're a family, oh man, this is going to sting. If you're a family that does like traveling sports, you gotta put a cap on that somehow. You can't be gone with you and yours and your children Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You've got to put some limits to these things. I get it. Everybody wants you. Every organization out there wants all your time. They don't care that you don't go to church on Sunday, but it is impacting you and your family if you don't. You've got to put limits. You've got to put caps on these things. It's not good for you. It's not good for your kids. But they want you. Just go, 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 go. I know what it's like. We used to do swimming. Man, those meets, they just go Thursday through Sunday. And you say, really? Or for your sports teams, they want your kids to be gone on Wednesday doing all these other kind of things when there's youth group here. For kids to connect with other kids, to have church together, their own age group. And you just can't miss out on that. Your kids can't miss out on that. It's important. But look for ways to serve. Look for ways to connect. Look for ways to be a part of Hillcrest here because they're endless. And then for those of you that don't know if we're going to accept you, we will. We will accept you. I guarantee it. In fact, here's your invitation. Please join the family of Hillcrest. Please. If you have not, please do so. I encourage you to do this. We will welcome you with open arms. And there are many people around you right now that are members here at Hillcrest that have committed themselves to this place. And there are also many around you today that are not members here at Hillcrest. And they are not connected. So what I want to do is I just want to kind of give you a visual for this. And those of you that are members, I'm really sorry to do this to you. But these are the people that are ready to accept you, receive you, love you, and care about you. If you're a member here at Hillcrest, will you please stand? These are the people. Okay, all of you that are standing, will you reject someone that wants to come and be a part of this thing? In the ministries you're a part of, would you reject help and assistance? With the mission that God has given us, do we have enough people we don't need anymore? We need more. Here, thank you. You can sit down. Membership is meaningful and important in the church. I have a clipboard. This clipboard is really complicated. On the top, it says membership, and then it has blank spots for names and emails. People say, "Pastor Doug, membership isn't biblical." Phooey, of course it is. It's about people saying, "This is the local church that I'm committed to. This is a place I'm going to go every Sunday. I'm going to take up a seat at that place. And when opportunities come to love the community, I'm going to go with that group. This is where I serve. This is where my children are going to receive spiritual training. This is the place where I'm going to connect with somebody." That's what membership is. It's not something fancier than that. And if you have not connected, if you are one that did not stand, then what you need to do is after the service, you'll come up and there's this clipboard that says membership and you put your name and your email on there. This doesn't say for sure that you're ready to like go all in with us, but I will reach out to you and just say, "What are you thinking? How can I help you? What questions might you ask?" And then if maybe you are all in and I'll call you up and you say, I'm all in. What do I need to do next? And then at our next business meeting, Burke, who is our chair of leadership council, he'll have like just a ton of names to have to go through. I'd praise Jesus for that. Why stay on the sidelines? Why not join? There's no membership due. There's just the same expectations that Jesus has for all of us. And I think we can fill that. Today, in our church records, we have 285 adults that attend Hillcrest on a weekly basis. Added in their families, we have 500 people here at Hillcrest. 135 of those people are members, which means 150 adults are watching but have yet to join the church. That are watching. They've literally filled out the card and their name is in the database, but they have yet to join the family. This is an area of improvement for Hillcrest. I have done a poor job in communicating this. I've done a poor job in letting you know the meaning and the value of membership, of joining the church, of being a part of this community, and encouraging you to do this, because I'm afraid that if I do a message like I'm doing right now, that you won't come back. But I have to be honest that I am more interested in a pastor of a church filled with those that are connected and loving one another than just butts in a seat. If you like what you're hearing, keep coming back and I'll keep doing this. But maybe it's time to take that step and say, no longer am I just going to sit on the sidelines, but I'm really going to do this thing. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to jump in with both feet. I promise you we will accept you. We will receive you. We will love you and give you an opportunity to love us. We can do this thing together. The other area that we need to address today, yes, there's another area, is loving each other. Of all the churches that I have seen and pastors that I know with churches, Hillcrest is an unbelievably loving church to one another. And I am proud of you for that. I see it daily in the ministries around here. I see it in the conversations. I see it in the way that you treat one another. The issues that exist in other churches do not exist here. And that is kudos to this group that has really taken on the serious role of loving one another and caring for one another. We're doing an excellent, excellent job in this area. In our survey that we took, there was some disconcerting information that was in there. Because though I see the church doing a good job of loving one another, people are feeling disconnected from each other, from this body of believers. Now, again, these are really probably the more connected people that filled out the survey, but this is some of the information that came through. 16% of them felt completely disconnected, 37% felt somewhat connected, and 46% felt very connected. This isn't good. You know, the data says that if you don't have 7 people you're connected with in church, if you're not connected or have 7 friends that you don't feel connected, how many do you have? Do you have 7? And that might be why we're not feeling that connection with one another like we should. The church, of course, has to create avenues for connection. What are those? When you come in, greeters. Yeah, I know it's a small thing, but somebody shakes your hand, smiles at you, connects with you. You have ushers that hand out the programs. Frank was back here doing a great job before service. We have the Welcome Center as staff. Dina's doing that today. You go over to Dina. If you know anything about the Strengths Finder stuff, she's a woo, which means she'll just talk to you till you can't talk anymore. That's Dina. In a loving, compassionate way, she is truly interested in you for a long time in a conversation. I am truly interested in you as well, but just for a shorter period of time. You know what I mean? It's just how I'm wired. But we all have our gifts, and that's why I'm not at the Welcome Center. We have coffee. The people that make coffee early in the morning, today it was a Lime Box. Lime Box, where are you? Oh, right here. Lime Box made it this morning. Julie comes in with a smile. Greg's always got a smile on his face, and he makes coffee so that all of you can have coffee for the purpose of connecting. And that's why we don't have rows in the back, and it's why the sides, I'm sorry you're all mashed up, but that's the way it has to be. We mash you up so we have more space in the back so people can gather and enjoy each other and connect with one another. We have things like the meet and greet during the service. I know that's kind of lame, but at least you get to shake some hands, right? Meet somebody. Serving opportunities here at Hillcrest, they're limitless. Small groups, Bible studies, men's events, women's events, children's ministry events, family events that we have, student ministry events, midweek and Sunday morning for student ministries. We have camps. We have retreats. We have mission trips that we set up. We have business meetings around here. We have boards and departments and teams. We have connection out the wazoo here. And some of you say, I'm not connected. Is it because Hillcrest is not offering enough opportunities? Nope. As your pastor, I will tell you, no. We have been guilty of that in the past. We are not guilty of that today. And I think the biggest reason why people don't make friends, and I'm speaking of myself because you may not know this because of how I am on Sunday morning, but I'm an intense introvert. If I lived on an island all by myself for my whole life, I tell myself I would enjoy that. I probably wouldn't. I tell myself I would. I think good alone. I do life good alone. I'm never lonely. I talk to myself often. But I've learned in my Christian journey that I do need people. I'm better because of people. So speaking from an introvert that doesn't need any friends in his life, but really needs lots of friends, I'll tell you this, that the reason why I don't make friends very well is because I'm not a good friend. If you want to make friends, you have to be a friend. I think it's one of my fill-ins. Sounds like something smart to say. Yep. To make a friend, you're going to have to be a friend. Okay, we're going to say this one together, okay? Repeat with me. To make a friend, you are going to have to be a friend. Okay, now you got the speed I'm going to do it. It wasn't enough volume. Here we go. To make a friend, you are going to have to be a friend. Guaranteed every single time. This is how we have to do this. Hillcrest is a friendly place. I know this because I've been here 19 some odd years now. There are going to be people here that have been here over 20 years that are friends together. And some people say, those are cliques. They're not cliques. They're friends. And they've been friends for like 20 some odd years. Those of you that have been friends for 20 some odd years, I know you personally. I can see most of you are in this room. And all of you are loving people that would invite anybody into your circle. I know this. But also realize those of you long-termers, you're intimidating. Because you've been here so long. So always keep an empty seat in the circle for someone to come and be a part of. For those of you that are here and you're like, I don't know who's been here 20 years or who's been here like 1 week. Good for you. That just makes it that much easier. You just go up and introduce yourself. Hi, I've been coming for 6 months. I've never seen you before. They'll probably say, well, I sit on the other side of the room from you. Or they might say something like, well, I go to a different service than you do. I mean, there's people that go first and second service for 5 years and they don't know each other. It happens. But it's okay. You just walk up and you meet people and you say, hi, this is who I am and who are you, and get to know somebody. But I encourage you, put yourself out there. Invite someone out for lunch. Have someone over to your place. Be friendly, and in no time, you will have those seven connections that you need to be connected around here at Hillcrest. The avenues are already here at Hillcrest for you to make friends, and the people that are here are already friendly people. So you need to engage those opportunities and take a risk, and I promise you'll be glad that you did. And I kind of give this caveat to this too. If you try to like make friends with somebody and they reject you, if you try to get into one of these groups that have been together for a lot of years and they say, sorry, we don't need any more friends, you come talk to me and I'll have a conversation with them. I don't believe in triangulation, but I will in that. Because we are going to be a people that love and accept one another. Because each one of us are different. Each one of us has our warts. I get it. Not everyone's going to connect here. But you've got to reach out. You've got to take a risk. You've got to do something to try and connect with others that are here. A couple ideas. I just start coming to church every week. That's going to be huge. And come early. And stay after. Don't just run out the door. Here's my challenge to every single Hillcrester here. This isn't to the person next to you. This isn't just the members. This is to every one of you, including children. Ready? This is Pastor Doug's challenge to you. Every single Sunday you come to Hillcrest, ready for it? It's going to freak some of you out. Meet two people you don't know. Two, not one. I know that's hard enough. Two. I just want it to be torture for you. Two. And you can even tell them, hi, Doug made me do this. And you say, I'm Doug. Who are you? I don't know you. That's not going to freak them out because they don't know you either. If they do know you and you don't know them, that's a whole nother issue. For the most part, they don't know who you are either. You just meet them. And who knows what blossoms from that? You might get done with that and then you walk away and you go, I don't like that person. Okay, move on. Or you might say, I don't know, I kind of like that person. So what do you do then? Invite them out. to lunch after church. That's always a great thing to do because everybody can just eat, and when the conversation's bad, you just stay in your plate. In fact, today we have Pizza Ranch today. Woo! Pizza Ranch. How unassuming is that? Hey, let's go to Pizza Ranch together. And when the conversation doesn't work, you just gravitate to other people. Or maybe you're going to fill one of your seven in one lunch. Maybe it starts a conversation that starts to another conversation to another conversation. Maybe you don't just go out to Pizza Ranch, but maybe you invite people over to your house. My mom's been doing kind of a strange thing. I didn't ask her if I could share this, but she just has been inviting people over to her house and she just serves them dinner. So if you need dinner, contact her. She'll have you over just to like meet people. Dina was telling me, sorry, Dina, I'm picking this. None of this is in my notes. And I know Jake is playing. He wants me to shut up. Dina, you've got, what was the thing you called when we talked on the phone? You had a supper thing. Supper for six. I don't know what it is, but it would be, you'd go to Dina's house and she would cook for you. And she's pampered chef, so she knows what she's doing. I watch her cooking videos. Ask Dina about it. Connect with people. Love people. Take a risk. Invite them over. Go out with them. Say, hey, could we try being friends? Who knows? We got to do it. Join a small group. Join a Bible study. Be known by people. Be prayed for. Pray for others. That's how you get to know people too, is in these Bible studies and small groups. Start volunteering. We have a Strength Finder workshop coming up on the 21st of October, I think it is, in which you can learn what your skills and your gift sets are and how to connect here at Hillcrest. Great thing to do. You'll actually meet some people there. Join others as we serve. We have craft fair coming up, bake sale. Can you bake something? Can you craft something? Can you help set up? Can you help tear down? There's a sign-up sheet in the back at the Welcome Center, and it is not nearly filled up enough. You go there, and you put your name on it. Trunk or treat's coming up. We need candy. I'm not kidding you. If this was a box this high, we need that much candy because we had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of kids in the neighborhood that poured out last year, and it just blew us by surprise, and we went four or five times the Hy-Vee and spent $500 or $600, literally. What a shame. Bring candy. Everyone here, loads of it. And then come to it and dress up. You know you want to. Get in the directory. Do you know the directory is what we use? I'm sorry, Jacob. I'm going as fast as I can here. You open the directory and we see pictures and that's how we're like, oh yeah, that's who that is. And that's who that is. And that's who that is. You know the people that aren't in the directory but show up here every week? It boggles my mind. I'm going to come here and I'm going to take from this place, but I'm not going to give of myself for it. I know that sounds harsh, but we've got to be together as a family. At least sign up in the back. Jen Simons is back here. Wave, Jen. There's Jen. She's our administrative assistant. She rocks. She actually like keeps the place running around here. But she's going to help with the directory. We're going to do it ourselves, a homegrown directory, so you don't have high-pressure photograph people trying to sell you $9,000 worth of photos. You're like, I just tried to get my picture in the directory. Just submit your own photo, a selfie. I don't care what it is. We're going to put it in there. We'll give it to people, and they can say, oh, I see who that is. I know who that is. I know who that is. We'll help connect us better. Research shows that a healthy church has 40 to 50% of its attendees in some kind of class or group. More than 50%, that's a wow factor. 35 to 45 is average. Less than 35 is poor. And how are we doing? We have 40%. So we got to do better. And I take that too. Our lack of connection as a church, I take that because I don't do these messages enough. Encouraging you to meet with one another and to connect with one another and realize that your next best friend might be in this room. But you've got to take the risk. You've got to be a friend to have a friend. So encourage each other, build each other up. I believe just as you are already doing. So get involved, become a member. Don't forget, up here. Make a friend, be a friend, help others connect. That's week one. Can we do these things?